DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. Monsignor Essif is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essif encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essif. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Good morning, Monsignor. Happy Feast of Corpus Christi.
Beautiful feast. This morning I looked out. The sun was just peeking through. Jesus is, of course, called the Son of God. And above it, the clouds were forming like a dove over the sun. And then there was like God the Father, the creator of all this majesty and the magnificent colors, that particular moment. And the Trinity being adored from the rising of the sun to its setting. And in every parish and throughout the whole world, Jesus is being adored and honored. And when we have Mass today, and our Holy Father has preceded us with the Eucharist in Rome, and the celebration of the body and the blood of Christ, what a magnificent day and glory for us who are Catholics and who have the Eucharist. And this magnificent gift from the East to the West, this glory of God that the priests are offering, the bread and the wine, and an unbroken lineage from Jesus at the Last Supper when he said, "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood." And he gave that mandate to his apostles, unbroken from that time, from apostle to the apostle, to bishops, to priests all over the world. For these thousands of years, for these centuries, this sacrifice is being offered. And it is the same sacrifice as Calvary. It is the celebration of his body and blood. The sacrifice of Calvary is being represented, is being reenacted, is here celebrated in every altar. You know, false spirituality, all of us, not only Protestants, but Catholics and Orthodox who say, "I wish I was there when I could walk the road of Calvary and see Jesus and be there on the hill of Calvary." That's what the Eucharist is. When you are at the Eucharist at Mass, when you are celebrating and you're in this, when I now this morning celebrate the Eucharist, this same sacrifice that Jesus had on Calvary in an unbloody sacrifice, here he is. "Take and eat, this is my body. Look at the host. Take and drink, this is my blood. Look at the chalice, the cup. Here before your very eyes is Calvary. Here is Jesus on the cross. We are present. He looks at you and me from Calvary through the Eucharist. Jesus in the Mass is not something. He is someone. He is the Son of God offering himself up for the salvation of the world. He is here in Omaha. He is here in your parish. He is here on this altar. This magnificent gift which he has given us, it is the most blessed of all the sacraments. We call it the most blessed sacrament because it is the sacrifice and it is also a sacrament. When you receive the body and blood of Christ, this manna that he has given us from heaven, the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi in Latin means the body of Christ, Sangre Christi, the blood of Christ, Jesus' body and blood, is here offered on our altar. We don't worship bread. This is Jesus. When the bread which he gave us, I will give you bread from heaven, says Jesus. And this bread is my body. This bread is my flesh for the life of the world. Read chapter 6 in John's Gospel. Your fathers ate manna in the desert, he told the Jews, and they died. But I am the living bread come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that the Father is going to give you. And so this bread is Jesus. It is his flesh. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood will have life in him, and I will raise him up on the last day. My brothers and sisters, you who are my fellow Catholics, you actually eat the flesh of Jesus and drink his blood. Our faith tells us this is what we are doing. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. How close do I want to be with you? It's not cannibalism, it's love. The Eucharist is the love first of God for me. The Father saying to me, I want you this close to my Son. I want you so united with my Son. You are my daughter. You are my child. Take and eat his flesh and drink his blood. Become one with him. As the Father gazes at us gathered at the Eucharist today, he sees only one Jesus. When does that begin in the Father's eyes? This is the deepest truth about you and me. He sees it through our baptism. He took you to himself when he united you with his Son Jesus in baptism. When you were united with him through the power of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, think of yourself as a married person. When you were united with him, the intimacy of the marriage union of the sacrament of marriage, the two become one flesh. But that fleshly union of a husband and wife, which is sacramentally that union, it is your flesh union that is the sign of your oneness in Christ. As the husband and wife are one, so that union that you have is only a shadow, a mystery, a shadow of the Eucharist. The Eucharist is such an intimacy and a union between you and Jesus. The spousal relationship of a husband and wife is the sign of what the Eucharist is. So much do I love you, Jesus says to his spouse, the church, that I have united you with me through water that came forth from his side, and the blood, which is the Eucharist, the Eucharistic sign. Take and drink, eat my flesh and my blood. So intimate do I, your spouse, Jesus, want to be with you. That's the sacrament. First, Jesus gives us the Eucharist, his death on the cross, the sacrifice at Mass. Second, Jesus gives us Holy Communion, the union with him. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. Your Father, who so loved you that he loves you in him and through him and with him. And the sign of this Sunday, is gathering in the Father's arms, all of us in Christ, bringing us to himself. You are not only one with him here on earth this Sunday. This is the majesty and the beauty of every Eucharist. It is a banquet celebrated in heaven by the sacred holy ones there. They are united, and it is a forever sacrament. It is a sign of your forever life. It's a sacrament not only that unites you here, but it is a pledge of eternal life. Every time you receive communion, listen to the prayers of Mass forever and ever, through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. We, in this sacrament, are entering into eternal life. Every time you go and approach the altar, when you take either in your hand, as you receive the body and the blood of Christ, when you take him on your tongue and take him into yourself, the into me see, the intimacy is the union of you and Jesus. What a tremendous Eucharistic gift this is, the body and blood of Christ. Finally, it is the presence of our Lord in the Eucharistic sacrament on the altar. This magnificent gift, what makes our temple, our church, so unique? The Eucharistic presence of Jesus Christ, staying with us, remaining with us 24/7 on our altar. The little red light in the sanctuary of every Catholic church throughout the world is a sign that I want to abide with you. I want to remain with you. I just don't want to come and go. The Sunday Mass that you will attend and be at and participate in today, I want to remain with you as lovers. As lovers say, I am with you all days. I am with you all through the day and all through the night. Can you imagine Jesus as a prisoner on our altar of love, staying there, waiting for you? He sees you approaching. When you come at 3 o'clock in the afternoon to visit with him, and in some of the churches, there's exposition 24/7, any time of the day or night, you can go and be with him. How many of us want to have a visit maybe with some particular priest who has been a special guide to us, and it's so important that I make that visit? How many of us want to see a doctor, and if I could just get an appointment with him, and so often his schedule is so crowded? How many of us need legal advice, and I want to see this particular lawyer? Jesus, the greatest physician, the greatest wisdom source, the greatest guide and Lord and friend is there 24/7. You can actually go to visit him in the Blessed Sacrament. There are throughout the world also today processions of the Eucharist where Jesus, in what's called a monstrance, a golden rayed center in which the Eucharist is placed, he who is the golden rays of the whole world of light is there waiting for us, yearning for us, longing for us, wanting you to come, wanting to actually advise you, heal you, bless you, strengthen you, no matter what it is that you come to him with, to spend an hour with him. The Eucharist is the presence of Christ in a very special way in his body and blood on our altars. So the Eucharist is sacrifice, the Eucharist is sacrament, and the Eucharist is the presence of Jesus among us. This gift, which the Father has given us through his Son, is the pledge to eternal life. I am leaving you, he says, but Jesus so loves us, he just doesn't want to go. When he left this world, he stayed with us in the Eucharist. He has not left us. How do I enter more deeply into this celebration today? The key is faith. As I am with you now, I am with you in my presence. I am here. It is me. I have never left you. I am fully alive here in the Eucharist, waiting for you. Come to me, all you who are burdened and find life burdensome. I will refresh you. I really believe today, this particular feast of the body and blood of Christ, that we can be renewed, refreshed, to live again. You know, all this false spirituality about wanting to have been there when Christ was on earth in those days of the gospel. No, the Eucharist brings us to him in a living way. He in us, we in him, by the power of this blessed sacrament, the most holy of all the sacraments. And it's been my experience as a priest for these 60 years that the Eucharist, which was given to me on the day of my ordination, that this Eucharist, which if I could only offer one Mass, just one, that all my study and everything I had done would have been worth it, just to offer one Mass. But to have been given the opportunity to offer Mass each day, when I think of this gift, I remember once I was this young seminarian in Washington, and this beautiful young lady who belonged to St. Augustine's Parish, and I was giving her instructions. She was a student at Catholic University, and I talked to her about this magnificent gift. She just couldn't wait. She couldn't wait to be baptized. She couldn't wait to become a Catholic. But her desire, especially for that first day in which I baptized her, I went with her to the Mass at St. Augustine's. And as we went up to receive communion, she was amazed. And when she was coming back, I was particularly noticing there were tears in her eyes. We finished the Mass, and we were outside, and she said, "Was that Jesus? You told me that was Jesus." "Yes." She said, "But they all didn't go to communion. If that's Jesus, how come they didn't go to communion? How come some of us who are listening to me don't go to Mass? How come? If you are a Catholic, and if you are truly believing that the Eucharist is Jesus, how? How come?" And I really also believe, especially how important it is, if you're a Eucharistic minister, that those of your family who are sick and suffering and homebound, that you will bring communion to them, that this is a time that they need the body and blood of Jesus, the sick and the suffering. He wants to feed them. He wants to heal them. He wants to bless them. Oh, how much alive our lives, our family, our communities would become alive in Jesus Christ.
We'll return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Issev in just a moment.
Litany of Humility.
O Jesus, meek and humble of heart,
hear me. From the desire of being esteemed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being loved,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being extolled,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being honored,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being praised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being preferred to others,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being consulted,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the desire of being approved,
deliver me, Jesus. From the fear of being humiliated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being despised,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of suffering rebukes,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being calumniated,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being forgotten,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being ridiculed,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being wronged,
deliver me, Jesus.
From the fear of being suspected,
deliver me, Jesus. That others may be loved more than I,
that others may be esteemed more than I,
that in the opinion of the world, others may increase and I may decrease,
that others may be chosen and I set aside,
that others may be praised and I unnoticed,
that others may be preferred to me in everything.
That others may become holier than I, provided that I become as holy as I should.
Jesus, grant me the grace to desire it.
Amen.
We now return to Building the Kingdom of Love with Monsignor John Essex.
Monsignor, why do you suppose it's a bigger block for what seems to be Catholics? I mean, one could understand our Protestant brothers and sisters who haven't had the type of formation that Catholics have in our understanding that this truly is the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't it more scandalous that we as Catholics could have churches with thousands of members in one local parish, and yet there remains no one signed up for adoration times?
One of the images when you asked that question that I go back to, and you were there with us when we went to Pare Lamonial, and there it was from the Eucharist that Jesus came out from the Blessed Sacrament, almost as if his Sacred Heart couldn't stand it anymore. What's the answer to that? I believe it's what we're going to be talking about for the rest of this month, that Jesus' heart in the Eucharist is so burning with love for each of us. He came out of the tabernacle. He appeared to Margaret Mary. And the answer to what you're asking is that cry of Jesus, behold the heart that has loved so much and received so little love in return. I think the answer is that we look at the Eucharist as something rather than someone. Our relationship to Jesus is our relationship as something. When you receive the host, that's not something in your hand. That is Jesus. When you receive him on your tongue, that is Jesus. So I really believe it goes back from our first communion, our formation, in relating to a person. He is a person whose heart is broken by us who are indifferent to him. I can understand those who hate him. And he says, I can see those who are angry with me and reject me, and those who are loving toward him, because you're neither hot nor cold, he said in the scripture. You know what the reaction it has toward him? I begin to vomit thee from my mouth. The gentle Jesus is saying to the indifferent Catholic, you make me sick to my stomach. You grieve me. And the cry of his heart is, I want relationship with you. I love you. And until you can hear that in your heart, I don't think you're going to be able to hear it when he cries that to you in Holy Communion. The cry of Jesus to you today is, I love you. I love you so much. Listen, how much I lay down my life for you. When you are at Mass, you're seeing Jesus lay down his life for you. And he laid it down once and for all at Calvary. And that is the experience. Pray if you've never had. You might be a Catholic and never experienced the love that he had for you. Not to wait. I mean, some of you that may be hearing this might be in hospice and you might be dying. And so you're going to meet him. He is there waiting for you. And still you might have been one of these indifferent Catholics. He paid the price for you to go to heaven. And you might be spending your last few days here on earth. Don't worry that you never have experienced that intimacy, nor should you fear now that you're going to die. He loves you. If you're the worst sinner in the world, and you may have even made a contract with him who is the devil, don't worry, because Jesus wants you back. He laid down his life for you. There is nothing you have ever done that he doesn't want your love. That love that recognizes that he is your savior, not in time. 10,000 years from now, you and I are going to be in heaven together because of Jesus and the Eucharist and the death he died on Calvary. That's the truth. And 10,000 years from now, when we're singing his praises, this could be the day that you turned around in your life. And that question that you asked, Chris, could be turned around now. You stop giving him agitin in his stomach because you're so indifferent to the divine love he has for you. It could be a most miserable, ungrateful, blasphemous person. But it's about time that you begin to relate to Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world.
Any final thoughts, Monsignor?
I'd like to bless everyone in the world. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he show to you his countenance and give you peace through his body and blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lady of the Eucharist, pray for us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Monsignor.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.